Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 27th, 2020, from my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features an update on absentee voting for the June 9th primary, a preview of the Accelerate SC proposal coming on Thursday, Boeing's layoffs begin, and a clinical research trial to see what power T-cells from patients who have recovered from COVID-19 hold for others. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these different times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 466 deaths, and currently there are 10,623 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of May 27th at 4 p.m. And the state reached a macabre milestone on Wednesday when it recorded its highest daily death rate of the pandemic, with 20 deaths reported. Statewide, of the 7,081 inpatient beds currently being used, 398 are occupied by patients who have either tested positive or are under investigation for COVID-19. And on Tuesday, DHEC said the monthly goal of testing 110,000 South Carolinians by May 31st was exceeded. As of May 26, a total of 181,154 total tests have been conducted in the state. In some late-breaking news, DHEC Director Rick Toomey announced his resignation on Wednesday from the agency effective June 10th. Toomey is 65 and has been dealing with health issues throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. It even required him to take a leave of absence early on. Toomey is a former hospital administrator and was appointed by Governor Henry McMaster to head up the agency in December 2018. DHEC Chief Counsel Marshall Taylor will run the agency until a new replacement is found. Any registered voter in South Carolina can vote absentee in the June 9th primary by citing the state of emergency as the reason. Remember, the legislature passed this measure in a day on May 12th, and the governor quickly signed it into law. And now, more than 172,000 people have requested a ballot, and so far more than 95,000 have received one. This is a record number for a primary, and in line with absentee voting numbers typically seen in general elections. As for whether there will be absentee voting this fall, that is something that the legislature could authorize again, or it may become a reality depending on how the state Supreme Court rules on a pending case which involves the definition of physical disability and illness. Moving on, Congressman Jim Clyburn was on ABC's The View on Tuesday and discussed several things, including disparities that the pandemic has brought to light.
This pandemic has opened up some things that I have been hopping on now for 10 years. When I said at the beginning of this debate that this is an opportunity for us to restructure things in a more perfect vision. That's what I said. And it got weaponized against me. Leader McConnell went on the floor and called me out by position as having said that. I don't back away from that. Our healthcare system needs to be restructured. Our educational system needs to be restructured. Now everybody is seeing it. Our kids are about to lose a second year of school. Healthcare. We cannot get rid of this pandemic unless we do something about healthcare. We've got to test. We've got to trace. We've got to isolate. And we've got to treat. That cannot be effectively done without broadband. And where is the broadband missing? In rural communities, in low-income communities, and these communities need to be restructured so our healthcare system can service them.
Also, Clyburn addressed former Vice President Joe Biden's remarks from his interview with Charlemagne the God, where he said African Americans ain't black if they even considered voting for President Donald Trump. Clyburn said he cringed when he heard that, and here he is talking with Whoopi Goldberg about that remark.
I always think it's a mistake when folks go on to shows and think they're home. Think they're talking to friends and stuff because they just go out on an edge. So when you heard this, what was your response to the comments?
I cringed, no question about that. It's kind of interesting, though. You know, Charlemagne, or Leonard, is from South Carolina as well. In fact, he and my wife, my late wife, shared the same hometown, Monk's Corner. We hung out together last homecoming at South Carolina State. So I know him very well. I know what his job is. His job is to push the buttons, and he does that very well. In this instance, Joe did not do as well as I had hoped in responding. But I will say this. I go about my business every day comparing Joe Biden to the alternative, not the Almighty. He is not a perfect person. None of us are.
Just to wrap up on June 9th primary voting, as a result of a U.S. District Court order issued Monday, South Carolinians voting absentee by mail will no longer be required to have their signature witnessed on the ballot return envelope. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU of South Carolina, and the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund successfully challenged the requirement, which they contended could have disenfranchised tens of thousands of eligible voters who could not risk contact with other individuals to vote in person or obtain a witness signature on their absentee ballot. Also, if you want to vote absentee, you can still request a ballot online at scvotes.org. Ballots need to be requested by June 5th and returned by 7 p.m. on June 9th, the day of the election. You can find more about all things elections and absentee voting related at the State Election Commission website, scvotes.org. While businesses across the state are bringing workers back and opening up their doors, Boeing has begun its company-wide layoffs to the tune of 16,000 employees. CEO Dave Calhoun said last month that the commercial airplane division will see about 15% layoffs. That includes the North Charleston 787 Dreamliner plant, which employs around 7,000 people. With air travel demand obliterated and demand for new planes down, especially the massive twin-aisle Dreamliners that the plant produces. So far, 6,770 U.S. workers for Boeing have been laid off, and another 5,520 took voluntary layoffs. In the State House, the Senate reopened South Carolina Select Committee met Wednesday afternoon to hear from several members of the Accelerate SC Task Force ahead of the Thursday meeting, where Dr. James Burns says he'll present his final report. Now, on Wednesday, he gave a group of senators a look at his draft proposal, which includes a state stockpile of personal protective equipment. Here he is talking to the group.
How do we get PPE for our communities? How do we get them for people? How do we get them for the state? One of the recommendations I think you'll see is the creation of a state stockpile of PPE, a 28-day state stockpile similar to what you're seeing with on a national level. Based on some discussions we had, we thought that that was a prudent thing to do because, you know, everybody was fighting for the same PPE. Probably one of the great things that has happened as far as collaboration is the Chuck Spangler and the group that's doing the PPE collaborative where businesses can come and see the availability of PPE and matching businesses up. That's been a really good impact.
Former State Senator Greg Ryberg headed the resource subcommittee, which focused on how to use the nearly $3 billion in federal funds flowing to the state.
We believe that for us to accelerate South Carolina going forward, we have to do everything we can to get businesses working and businesses fully employed. And we think one of the ways to do that is to help them replenish the trust fund to the tune of a minimum of $500 million. And should there be any additional monies left at the end before December 30th timeframe when we have to return the money to the federal government, that the balance of the money that is reimbursable be put in the unemployment trust fund. And so the unemployment trust fund said, well, you know, what about the government here and the government there? Many people on the committee felt that if we don't get business going, in some cases, we don't need real government, okay? And so business to us business being confident that they can operate in a profitable way going forward is absolutely critical. This money helps them because otherwise they would have to come up with additional tax payments to refund the trust fund up to an acceptable level. So we think this is a small amount of money that is being spent to help businesses in these cases.
And State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman opened with a direct look at the education situation in the state. There's expected to be around $50 million going towards some remedial summer school and reading camps for students this summer.
This COVID-19 pandemic has the potential to create an education crisis for a generation of our South Carolina students. And I'm here today to ask you to help me, help us make that not a reality. And that's why it's so important for us to have as our goal safety of our students, number one, but number two, to get back to a face-to-face learning environment just as soon as possible. The next slide, and I won't go into great detail, but you know here in South Carolina, we have always had a divide. World-class schools, students performing above the national average, other schools not so much, and students who live in tremendous poverty who often score at a very low level and they struggle. We have all types of programs, reading, transformation coaches, folks coming from great districts into those districts and schools that need extra help. We have those folks working full time in those districts in schools, full time working with those teachers, but all of that stopped. All of that stopped.
We'll find out more about the Accelerate SC plan Thursday, and then we expect to see a plan from the governor shortly thereafter. In our medical segment, Bobby Connor talks with Bessemo Gretman about the development of a clinical research trial to see if T-cells from patients who have recovered from COVID-19 can be used to help critically ill COVID-19 patients recover. Dr. Gretman is the director for the Center of Biomedical Research Excellence in Lipidomics and Pathobiology at the Hollings Cancer Center at MUSC.
Dr. Gretman, first tell us about T-cells.
Hi, Bobby. T-cells are warriors of our immune system. So they actually recognize any foreign cells, like cancer cells or viruses. They recognize them and kill them.
What's the basic idea or therapy proposed in this T-cell and COVID-19 research?
Our idea is really to take T-cells from donors that are recovered from this disease and take their T-cells and using our technology that is developed in our laboratories, expand them and then make them program against this virus and then put them into the patients who are critically ill so that we can help them fight this virus using donors' T cells.
And is this concept based upon the T cell type of work that goes on for cancer patients?
Yes, so originally this technology was developed for the treatment of cancer patients. But we thought that with this COVID-19 pandemic, we can use the same technology for fighting the virus. One of our colleagues, Dr. Shikhar Mehrotra at Hollings Cancer Center, developed this technology where we can actually expand these T cells using his technology that is patented so that we can actually make them more efficient and much more powerful to fight these viruses.
And why are the T-cell donors needed for this research instead of trying to just boost the T-cells or the immune system of the critically ill COVID-19 patient?
It's a very good question. So normally in cancer patients, we take patients' own T-cells and then expand them. However, this process takes about a month and a half. So for COVID-19 patients, we don't have this type of time.
And when will this research actually get underway, and what are the logistics? How is it going to get started?
Yeah, so this is an important question. So we think that within a few months, we will start part one, where we collection and expansion of T cells. And then another 6 to 8 months will take the phase one trial when we treat actual patients. So overall, I project that will be 10 to 12 months.
And Dr. O'Gretman, this is a different idea than using convalescent plasma as a way to help COVID-19 critically ill patients. This is a different approach?
Yes, so it is slightly different. In the convalescent plasma, there are no cells. There are only antibodies that can neutralize the virus. In our system, we are actually giving the T cells who can recognize the virus and kill them.
Dr. O'Gretman, thanks for providing this update about this T cell and COVID-19 research.
Thanks, Bobby. You can find that and other stories on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you going out to eat? Are you going to restaurants? What are you doing? What's your new normal looking like? How's your routine changed? Are you not going out at all? Are you still maintaining your self-isolation? Tell us what's going on in your world. We want to hear from you at 803-563-7169. Yeah, let us know if you're going to be voting by absentee, for example, or what your summer plans look like. You know, how is that going to change for y'all? Let us know. We want to hear from you, especially you parents who are now teachers at home, and how that's, I guess you're going to have your little graduation ceremonies at home soon or something like that, right? You know, just everyone gets an accomplishment certificate, I think, especially parents this semester. So let us know, 803-563-7169. AT, do we have any calls?
We have quite a backload of calls, so let's get to the air. Let's get to this one, and let's see what they have to say.
Roll tape.
Roll tape.
Roll tape.
Good morning. This is Victoria Ellis from Northeast Columbia. Love your show. I suffer from allergies and asthma. So for a couple of years now, during spring and fall, I would wear a mask. Well, I usually got stares. People would just kind of shun me and just kind of think that I'm really infectious. Well, I was just trying to protect myself from pollen. So now with COVID-19, I just blend in the crowd. It's interesting. So I've learned some things while I'm wearing a mask of smiling is kind of difficult. So I kind of extra wave. Of course, always worried about trying to catch when there's a sneeze or a burp in your mask is not pleasant. So y'all be safe, and I'm always enjoying the show. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Victoria. You were wearing masks before they were cool and still getting shamed for it. So some things haven't changed for you, I guess. But great to hear from you. We appreciate you calling. We love that you're a listener. And also, people, do what is comfortable and be respectful of others. I know Victoria's doing that, but come on, everyone. Like, let's just deal with this. It's a mask. It's not going to hurt you. All right? Wear one if you want to. Don't if you don't. But always respect a business's right to make you wear one, because that's their right. Anyway.
Right now, I think we should move on and change this up a little bit. We're winding down, but let's wind down some dreams, right?
Oh yeah. So let's, everyone close your eyes. Close your eyes. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. Don't do that.
Please don't.
Cannot be held liable for that if you crash your car. Unless you're in a Tesla.
It drives itself. For you.
Okay, now keep your eyes closed. Listen to AT and I as we discuss our dreams. We have our eyes closed. We're all in this together. And we're reminiscing. We had some dreams recently, not like weird. Well, every dream's weird, but we both had some active dream memories yeah. here. I'll go first because mine is not as cool as yours. So my eyes are still closed, and no, I can't do this. My eyes closed. It's creepy. For some reason, I haven't been sleeping that great. I'm like, I don't know. I wake up at 3 every now and then. Sometimes I wake up at 6 and I go walk, you know, whatever. But I was having this random dream that I was a cadet at the Citadel. I've never even been on the campus. I've been on the campus maybe once or twice for like a football game into the library. Like, I don't know anything of like their buildings, but apparently I'm living at the Citadel. I'm a student there. I mean, which makes sense because I'm very young. You know, I'm still like student, college student.
You
age.
Could pass for 20. Easy.
Easily.
Easy. And
for some reason, there's a talent show, talent contest. Does this happen at the Citadel? Do you guys have like an annual talent show? I don't know. But I'm not the most talented person outside of like, you know, I don't know what I'm really talented about.
Some would say zero talent, but moving on.
My talents aren't quantifiable. They're intangible. And so I had to come up with something to do. And that something was to sing New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. Not only sing it, but I guess my talent was going to be that I would do the high kick, you know, to the chorus line at the end there. Because that's a Jackson family thing we do at weddings, even though my mother hates it because she's like, that's a Jackson thing. Neither here nor there. However, my mother in this dream was the judge of said talent show.
And
I
was the
only, I was the only competitor. Did I win or not? I don't know because I woke up. I was feeling pretty good. Dream, I got into it.
My dream was very different.
Yours was also
that.
Musical, though.
Yeah. So my dream is very different than Gavin's. And I woke myself up laughing from it.
Different genre.
I thought it was so funny. And I'm really just patting myself on the back this whole time for how funny I think I am. And I'm kind of outing myself as not the biggest Beyonce fan here, okay?
I'll just preface
with that. I respect her.
I respect her, the Beehive. Don't hurt me.
Yeah. Please don't come for me. This is when I don't want the smoke.
Easy, everybody.
I am at a Beyonce show, and we're well into the show, and she's walking through the crowd holding mics up to everyone, and they're singing the words to the song. And all the people singing, they're all in the Jumbotron and stuff, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah, it was great. And then she gets to me, and she puts the mic in my face, and I don't know the words. So I'm just like, I'm sorry. No, I don't.
Just like
I don't
a cardinal
have
sin right here. Just like, I'm mumbling along into a Beyonce song.
I was like, I don't. And then it just goes crickets and everyone is staring at me. And Beyonce is like, stop the music and looks at me. And she goes, sing my effing song.
Sing the song.
And I just said, well, it's confession time, folks. I'm going to be better for you, okay? I don't know these words, but I'm going to learn them for you, and I'm going to be better and do better. And there was a beat, and the whole crowd erupted in applause for me.
Everybody loved me.
Everyone loved me, and the moral of the story is follow your dreams. I don't know.
And then didn't you get like a reality TV show out of it too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then like a manager immediately ran up to me and was like, what's your name? Yeah, and I shot like a phoenix. And then that was when it all fell apart.
We can assume that in 2 years it just all fell apart. You know, before we get out of this, I think the reason that this dream happened, at least part of it, when Beyonce put the mic in your face was because you just watched The Fifth Element and you were thinking of Chris Tucker when he put the mic in front of Bruce Willis. And he's like, how do you feel, my man? And he's like,
Coming, my man.
Hey, he's trying to say something.
So if anyone knows what any of this means, do I just have way too high
self-esteem? Yeah, tell us what our dreams mean.
Please let us know.
Let us know if there's impending doom around the corner.
Cormorant.
Let us know if you've had some weird dreams. Let us know what your sleep is like. Bobby Cunner actually just did a little something about sleep and stress, so we should probably incorporate that in one of our shows coming up. And I also need to do my pro and con list, things that we accomplished during quarantine. If you accomplished anything, you know you did. There's some good things that you did. Let us know what you've done, and I'll let you know what we've done. And again, thanks for listening to the pod. You can keep up with the latest news at scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, get your fill of news and then take a break from it, because there's so much of it. You can also stay up to date by following me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this week and as the situation continues to develop. We are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Good day, boys, gentle boys. Hello, gentle boys.